Okay, we are living on a very interesting time right now in our day. You know, it's probably one of the most interesting times of all history that you and I get an opportunity to live in. Now, we would call this the end times. We would also call it the times of the Gentiles, the Bible. This is all biblical terminology. The times of the Gentiles. And a lot of people don't understand what that means. I'm talking Christian people don't understand times of the Gentiles. And that was very clearly taught in our Faith Bible Institute. And it means the time from the Babylonian captivity. That's Israel. Jerusalem has never been the same since. Never, never, never. It's never had the order that God intended for it, ever, since that time. So we live in now the end time times. And soon the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. That's when the Gentiles have their time over Jerusalem, and it will soon come to an end. We live in the end times. Now, there are two authority books on the end time issues of the Bible. Two books in the New Testament that teach end times are really the authority on end times doctrines. Two books in the New Testament written to churches. Which ones are they? I've taught this before. First and second. Who said that? 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. Okay? Just wanted to see if you're awake. 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. If you want to get the end times figured out, and what I'm trying to do is help you as a church family, because you're going to be knocking or meeting people, and I'll tell you, that's the buzz today is end time stuff, end times thinking. And we are living in the end times. But how do we need to be right on the things that we believe and be able to defend and support the end times. Okay? Now, first of all, I want to talk about the characteristics of the end. Well, first of all, we're in 2 Thessalonians, or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Okay? Does anybody remember what 1 Thessalonians is? What is the general overall theme of 1 Thessalonians? The second coming. It's Christ coming. What is he doing, though? He's coming for his church. That's 1 Thessalonians. He's coming for his church. Okay? What is 2 Thessalonians, the second book? Coming with his church. That's right. It's really important you get that, because if you don't understand that, it'll all be kind of muddled. You'll have people telling you, convincing you of mid-trib, end-trib, all of that. It's really, if you get the 1 Thessalonians, Christ coming for his church, he doesn't come to earth on 1 Thessalonians. He just comes down, meets in the clouds. The church meets him in the clouds. He doesn't land on Mount of Olives. That comes in 2 Thessalonians. So you have to get that, or it's all kind of confusing. It really won't make sense. So 1 Thessalonians, Christ coming for his church. 2 Thessalonians, coming with his church. Okay? But there's a key phrase here. Okay? Now let's read the first 9 verses. I won't make you stand. If you're tired like I'm tired, it's too hard. Let's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 9. Let's read responsively. I'll read verse 1. You respond on verse 2. We'll end on verse 9. Okay? Verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you together. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all of children of the light, and children of the day. You're not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now really, I want to read the next two verses. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. That's salvation. That's the salvation that he's talked about in verse 9. Verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Okay? He's saying this teaching I'm giving you is that you are saved. This is salvation, and you need to understand this. This is comforting. This is comforting and edifying to you. He uses it in another place, this comfort and edifying. But go back to chapter 1 and... Chapter 4, and he gives a process of the resurrection, and he says, verse 16 of chapter 4, for the Lord himself to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now look what he says in the next verse. Look at the next verse. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. You know what the Lord is doing? He's given his believers, born-again believers, comfort to know we are not appointed to wrath. We're not appointed to the judgment of God coming. He is coming for us before that happens. He's coming to rescue us out of this. He's coming for his church, folks. That's what we're looking for. Now I'll go back to chapter 1 and verse 10. Okay? Chapter 1 and verse 10. This is introducing this. In chapter 1 and verse 10, he says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from what? The wrath to come. That's what's coming, the wrath of God. The judgment of God, the wrath of God. And it's known in this little term, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. And that's what we're going to focus on tonight, the day of the Lord. Folks, I don't know about you, and some of you, this is, you know this. You've been raised in church all your life. You know it, know it, know it, know it. But there's people here that don't understand this. And so bear with me. It'll hopefully be a blessing to you too. But it's really important that you get this. So when you get your friends from other churches, other religions, watching the latest guy on the internet, and he starts telling you about the end times, you can say, no, 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 no. This is how you understand end times. It's this little saying right here is the key to unfolding truth about end time theology, teaching, okay? Understanding the end times. Let's go back to chapter 5 and verse 2. Chapter 5 and verse 2. Now, first of all, he says in verse 1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. He's telling them, I've got you guys, you understand this end time stuff. Then why? How do you understand it? Verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. And then, of course, the whole context of that, he says, don't just remember, God has not appointed you to wrath, but to salvation in verse number nine. He's saying you aren't going through the tribulation. You're not appointed to wrath. Verse 10 of chapter 1 says he's delivered us from the wrath to come. This is a comfort one another, book, comfort one another in the church. Now remember, the Thessalonian believers were probably quite distressed. There was a sense that maybe we're in the tribulation because there was so much persecution they were going through. They were suffering terribly, and they thought maybe we're in the tribulation, and some false teachers were probably teaching that. Oh yeah, we're in the tribulation. That's why we're in it. We're not, God. And Paul's saying, no, it's going to get much worse than this. Much worse. It's going to be known as the day of the Lord. So before we go any further, let's pray. Let's pray, and then we'll get into this day of the Lord. And I want to pray for Wayne Long John. I want to pray for Greg at PACC. I want to pray for those who are baptized today. We want to pray for Jim DeShimer. Let's bow. Father, thank you so much for the great day we had in the Lord. Lord, the Lord's house is such a blessing. Lord, today, people wanting to get baptized, and Lord, then the opportunity of all their friends and sharing with them, fellowshipping, sharing Christ. Lord, what a blessing it is to be connected to the greatest power and salvation in all of the universe. We pray that all the Catholic friends that came today of this family will begin a work in their hearts, a work of salvation, a work of regeneration, a work of quickening. Lord, those precious people need to be saved. We are so rejoiced in the testimony tonight, Morgan's testimony about her dad, Wayne. Lord, we pray for him. We know that Morgan prays for him every day. And Lord, we pray for him now that as a church, you would just help him see, help him come to the place where he'll repent. We also pray for Morgan's girls, Jersey and True. We pray for their salvation. Lord, please help them. Lord, it's been a rocky road for them all the way through their growing up years. There's just been a lot of instability and things. But now their mom is saved. And Lord, help them to see the blessing that could be theirs if they'll open their heart and believe and follow you with all their heart. All of us have children, young people that need prayer, and we pray for all of our families, our loved ones tonight. We pray for Greg at PACC. We pray for him that he would not get back into a relationship that would hinder his walk. Help these men to see they can't go into wrong relationships and have a right relationship with you. We pray for those who got baptized today, for Francis, for Ruth, their family, for Kai Peronto, for the Peronto family. We pray for them. We pray that you will really have your hand upon them and us, all of them. Help them to be fruitful Christians. Please, we pray. Pray for Jim DeShimer. What a joy to hear that he has confessed Christ as Savior. We pray now you would open his eyes to the falseness of the JW teaching and that he would purpose to leave that. I remember when I did that years ago, I knew it was wrong. I came to the realization this is not Christianity. And Father, I pray you'll do the same for Jim. Thank you tonight, Lord. Thank you for all of the blessings of today. And you've answered prayer for sure. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go over to the book of Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13. And we're going to go fast here. Isaiah 13 verse 6. Isaiah chapter 13 and verse number 6. Now this is why Paul wrote, "But you know yourselves perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." He is talking to people who knew the Bible, the Old Testament. This is an Old Testament teaching, and it's crucial to understanding end times truth. But Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6. Isaiah 13 and verse number 6. What does it say here? "Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. They shall be afraid, pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. And they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another, their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath
and fierce anger to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners therefore out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. This is teaching, Old Testament teaching, about a time identified as the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. Now go to Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 8. Isaiah 34 and verse number 8. Isaiah 34 and verse number 8. 34 verse 8. Okay, here we are. Okay, Isaiah 34 and verse 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. Okay, now when you see the day of the Lord, it's always referred to as judgment. It's a judgment time. And it doesn't always mean a time in the future. When he's bringing the Babylonians in, invading Israel, that's referred to as the day of the Lord. It simply means a future judgment. It's a future day when God's going to judge. But most of the historic days of the Lord are tied with this future time called the day of the Lord. We're done. Let's go quickly now. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah. It's the next book up. Jeremiah chapter 46 and verse 10. Isaiah 46 and verse number 10. Okay, now just remember, he's writing to the New Testament believers at this Thessalonian church. He says, "But you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." How did they know it perfectly? How did they know about this day of the Lord? Old Testament, just what we're reading right now. That's how they knew. Jeremiah chapter 46 and verse 10. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries. And the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiated and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Okay? So there's another quote. Let's go now to the book of Ezekiel. And I'm not in any way exhausting all of these references. I'm just picking a few of them that gives you an insight to the Old Testament truth. Ezekiel chapter 30 and verse 3. Verse 2 and 3, actually. Ezekiel 30, verse 2. Son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, howl ye, woe worth the day, for the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day. It shall be the time of the heathen. Okay? And he's talking about this time, this day of the Lord. It's a day of judgment. Okay? Let's go now to the book of Joel. Okay? Old Testament, minor prophet, Joel. Okay? Joel chapter 1 and verse number 15. How do they know that the day of the Lord is a day of destruction? Joel chapter 1 and verse 15. Alas for the day. For the day of the Lord is at hand, and is as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Now here's one of those places where there is two days of the Lord running parallel, but one is teaching what's coming with the second. He's using the day of the Lord, talking about a future judgment that's coming upon Israel, but he's saying it's paralleled with a future time that is known also as the day of the Lord, when God is going to judge the land, and they run side by the two truths, but he's teaching two truths, but it's future judgment, the far off one and the close one. Go Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. Joel 2 and verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Zion is always Jerusalem, Israel, Judah, Jerusalem. and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Verse number 2, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and a horseman. So shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their faces the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one in his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. He's giving us all of this about this day of the Lord. Now, we'll skip down verse 9. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up on the houses. And they shall enter in at the windows like a thief, like a thief. Verse 10, the earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. Now, this is flipped from a temporal future judgment of Babylon. Now he's pointing to a judgment that we are, the end time judgment, Armageddon, the time of the end, the wrath of God, the book of Revelation that Thessalonians was teaching about. It's the earth shall quake before them, the heaven shall tremble, the sun and moon shall be dark. That parallels with the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Revelation 8:12 talks about the great earthquake. John describes the same event. Joel tells some of these details. John tells some other details in the book of Revelation. Okay? Verse number 11, Joel 2 and verse 11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong and executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it? Who can abide it? I want you to keep your finger right here. Go to Revelation chapter 6. Keep your finger there, because we're going to go back there. Revelation 6 and verse 17. Revelation 6 and verse 17. Verse 16 and 17. Okay? And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. Well, let's actually read back to verse 15. Verse 14. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island are moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks and in the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Look at verse 17, verse number 17. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The great day of his wrath is come. He's talking about the same truth, this same truth in verse 11 of Joel. And who shall be able to stand or abide it? Who shall be able to take it? It is going to be a horrible time, the worst time on earth, folks. What this should teach us is to cherish and thank God for our salvation, because we are not going through this. Christians are not going through this. This is just something to let you know of the urgency for us to be doing this, to tell people all over Prince Albert that Jesus Christ has come. We took the sound of the trumpet, we took it to every home in Prince Albert. It's warning them of what is coming. What is coming? We need to warn people, but we need to understand what we're talking about when we're telling people about what is on the way. Okay, let's go down to Joel chapter 2, verse 31. Joel 2, verse 31. There's 31. Verse 30. Let's start at verse 30. Joel 2, verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible what? The great and terrible what? Day of the Lord. That's the key term, phrase, the day of the Lord. He's giving. He says, you yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord. He says, we don't have to write to you. You guys know perfectly what the day of the Lord is. Will come as a thief in the night. It's just going to be upon us. One day, it's going to be here. Okay? It's going to be upon us. And verse 31. Now let's go to chapter 3 and verse number 14. Okay? Verse number 13, chapter 3 and verse 13. Put ye the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Now this harvest is not the salvation harvest. This harvest is judgment harvest. Put the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. You can put a little note there in your Bible, Revelation 14 through 20. That is the parallel of what is being taught here. Verse 15, we see the characteristics again. The sun and moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The stars will withdraw their shining. Let's go now to the book of Amos, next book over. Amos chapter 5, verse 18. Amos 5 and verse number 18. Amos chapter 5 and verse 18. Okay. Verse number 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Look at verse 20. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? Okay, there's going to be physical darkness, but there is going to be total spiritual darkness in the day of the Lord. There will be no brightness. It'll be very difficult to get saved in the day of the Lord. If people don't get saved on this side, they're not going to get saved in the day of the Lord without severe consequences. Okay? Amos 5:18, Amos 5:20. Now go to the book of Zephaniah. Okay? Zephaniah, and we see in Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 7. You know yourselves perfectly the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 7. Zephaniah 1 and verse 7. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guests. Verse 8. Look at this. This is a very interesting verse. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children. And look at this part. And all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Isn't that interesting? Strange apparel. Now, this word strange apparel is this kind of apparel. That which belongs to men is being worn by women, and that which belongs to women is being worn by men. That is what's strange. Men acting like women and women acting like men. He's saying the day of the Lord is going to deal with that problem. As those that are dressed with clothed with strange apparel. Down to verse 14, Zephaniah chapter, verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry very bitterly. Okay? Very bitterly. The day, verse 15, the day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble, and a distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced city. Verse number 18. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. That's the land of Israel. That'll be all the land. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Now, what do we do? How do you deal with, what do you do in the day of the Lord? He's warning them. There's always these warnings. Go to chapter 2. Go to chapter 2 and verse 2. Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 2. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, what day? The day of the Lord. Before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, verse 3, seek ye the Lord. All ye meek of the earth which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. You know what? God's going to hide us. That's what we have to look forward to. He is going to. The meek of the earth, the righteous, seek righteousness, seek meekness, seek the Lord. That's how you get ready for this day of the Lord. You seek him now. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek him and he will hide you. He is going to protect you. He's not going to let you go through this horrible, terrible time. Chapter 3 and verse number 8. Chapter 3 and verse number 8 of Zephaniah. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Remember when I preached this morning, it says John the Baptist told Jesus, or said Jesus is coming, I baptize you with water under repentance, but he shall come and he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This is the fire that he's talking about right here. He'll have enough. It's going to be the end of his patience. He's the wickedness and the what's going on in our world today. I want to tell you, and I could look up verses and verses and verses and verses. We got lots of them. So that's why he was telling these Christians in the Thessalonians. He was telling them. He says, listen, dear Christians, Jesus is coming back for you. He's going to deliver you out of here. You're not going through this. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, edify. But, Christian friend, we have got to know what we believe about the end times so that we can properly, truthfully warn our Catholic friends, warn our religious people that don't understand this stuff. You need to be able to take your Bible and sit down with them and show them how and what's coming down the pipe. This is, salvation is about getting saved from our sin, but it's getting saved from the future wrath that is coming upon this world. And the only way we can do that is with truth, understanding the truth of the day of the Lord. Now, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, I've got more here. We're going to run. I'm going to run too late here. I got to 1 Thessalonians. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. And another really good book on the day of the Lord is the book of Joel. It is loaded, Zechariah. It's got full of truth about the end, and we'll maybe go there another night. But 1 Thessalonians, back to chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want us to get this. It's the authority book on the what? What's the 1 Thessalonians authority book on what? Coming of Jesus to rescue us out of this world. He's coming for us. The voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We are going to be caught up together with him. Chapter 4. Chapter 1, he's delivered us from the wrath to come, to wait for Jesus, who's from heaven, deliver us from the wrath to come. Chapter 4, how we're going to go up. We're going to meet him in the air. He's not coming down. We're going to meet him in the air. Chapter 5, he's concluding this whole teaching on end times. And he's bringing it to a conclusion, and he's saying, brethren, of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. You know from the book of Isaiah, from the book of Jeremiah, from the book of Ezekiel, from the book of Joel, from the book of Amos, from the book of Zephaniah, from the book of Zechariah, you know perfectly about the day of the Lord. I don't have to teach you that. You know that. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. A thief in the night. You know what a thief in the night? We don't know when he's coming. We don't know the day, the hour, the moment. And he always comes when we least expect it. The thief in the night. That's a characteristic of how it's coming. Folks, we live in the end times. I'm telling you, the clock is, you know, even the secular doomsday clock in England or Brussels or somewhere, they have a doomsday. Google it someday. You know where the doomsday clock is? It is almost midnight. When it hits midnight, that means it's doomsday. It's ticking. They move it every once in a while, a little bit closer. The world believes there's a doomsday coming. You know why the world believes there's a doomsday? Because there is one. It's coming. And the only way to get ready for it is Jesus Christ, salvation. That's how to prepare the day of the Lord. Now, do you understand what the day of the Lord means? Do you understand that? How important it is? And are you ready for it? Are you prepared? Have you believed on Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'm sure on a Wednesday, Sunday night, most everybody has here, but maybe there's somebody that has not. And that is how, if we believe that Jesus died, verse number chapter 5 and verse number 10, who died for us? Well, verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation. Salvation from our sin, salvation from the future wrath to come, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're dead or alive, we should live together with him. When? When he comes to get us. Chapter 4, when he comes to get us. Verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And then he gives a whole bunch of admonitions, how to be faithful, how to serve in your local church, and esteem one another, and don't quench the spirit, and all of these practical Christian living things. He says, keep living the Christian life. Be faithful, because the day of the Lord is coming. We are not going through it, but we need to know it so we can warn others. And we need to know it so we can defend why we believe we are going up before the tribulation. We're not going up in the middle of the tribulation. We're not going at the end of the tribulation. All of these people today, there's internet teachers, and you're going to get bombarded with it. If you start, there's all kinds of crazy stuff being taught out there. Lots about end times. People saying Jesus is coming on such and such a day. He's coming on the 20th of whatever. Oh, there, you know, it's just all. Today, there was a big explosion. Blew up a big oil field in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is starting to cozy up a little bit to the United States. And there's a big peace plan supposed to be coming out any day from President Trump on Middle East peace. And they're all waiting for this surprise plan. They fired Bolton, John Bolton, the other day, who was the foreign minister of foreign affairs or
or I forget exactly which, but he was very instrumental in all of that Middle East stuff. Whatever, he crossed Trump somehow, and Trump has fired him and didn't like what he had to advise or say, and there's something coming. Folks, we are living, I think Donald Trump, honestly, they can say he's making America great and all of that, but I'll tell you what Donald Trump is. Donald Trump is a mover shaker to shake the world. He is shaking the world around Jerusalem. He is shaking the Middle East. He's bringing it all into a place to fulfill end time prophecy, the day of the Lord. That's what he's doing. That's what he was raised. That's why he is the guy, the mover and shaker, that's going to bring it. Now, we as God's people, we got to know why we believe, what we believe, and we got to know. There's one thing, almost one thing worse than being wrong, and that's being right and not knowing why. That's not being able to defend why we are going up before the tribulation. We know, there's a lot of Christians, you talk to them, they clam up. They don't know. They don't know where to go or where to start. So they avoid talking about the Lord and don't witness to him. We need to witness, share Christ. And the only way you can do that is know why you believe what you believe. Okay? Especially on the end times. The end times.